Hey, we got any regen people in the crowd? Raise your hand if you're... Okay, great. Great. Coffee cards for the regen people. No. All right, we don't have enough of those, but man, that's a big representation. So praise God for that. Y'all, we are going to have a cooking show tonight. Ladies and gentlemen, I, as a kid, used to watch infomercials. I don't know why. There's something really weird and dorky about me. Anybody, like, geek out over infomercials as a kid? Like, I would get, like, stuck on them. Like, food dehydrator, Ginsu knives. I mean, as a little kid, like, weird thing. You're like, that's why you're in recovery. Of course you did. That's awesome. No hand raised on Ginsu knives. So, we're going to have a cooking show. Who here, like, started a... New Year's resolution to like eat better, gonna be healthier. Who did that? You're that person. I see some hands. Yeah, got a few. Who here is still continuing on with that resolution? All right, great. If that's you, I want you to come up here, volunteer quickly. So I saw Ann. Great, Ann. Everybody, give Ann Jones a round of applause. Yeah, you can come too. Awesome. And welcome. Good to see you. So, I want to make you smoothies, right? Like smoothies. Everybody loves smoothies right now. Kind of the big rave. This is, as recovering alcoholic, that's water. I promise. Not Everclear or vodka. That's going to be good for you. It won't take away the pain of the evening, but it will blend what we need. Now, my hands are clean, or at least I'm going to tell you that. That's spinach. It's not organic. But it is spinach. And then this, do you have any food allergies, by the way?
Yes, gluten. But you're good. None of us has gluten.
What about all that?
Some of that, yeah, has gluten.
Okay, we need another non-food allergy volunteer. Round of applause for Ann Jones! I see that hand. Well, I think I saw Tyler. All right, Tyler, you got any food allergies? You have food allergies? All right, Tyler's our man. This is a tomato. I took the stem off.
Thank you, Regen guys. Step three, about to be step four soon. We're getting serious.
Regen guy, stomach guy, getting baptized guy. Tyler's a stud. No food allergies.
Tommy Nelson.
This is a tomato. We're just gonna like drop that in there, all of it. This is ginger. How do you feel about ginger?
Yeah, that's good.
Ginger helps your digestive tract. This is a beet. Beets have a lot of earthy, they taste like dirt. So, we're just going to get that going for you. That's the smoothie setting. All right. There we go. How do you turn this off? This isn't my blender. Wow. So this looks like, I don't know, goat blood or something. Like Old Testament. Sacrificial system. There you go. Tyler, here's to your health.
Count with me.
One, two, three.
Oh, no way.
Now here's the thing. Now here's the thing, bro. That's healthy. There is nothing in there but sheer health. That's good. How can you make that face?
I don't like it. Hey, everybody has different tastes. Okay?
That's true. You guys are like, give Tyler the mic. Get off the stage. That guy's funny. All right. All right. Clean that out for you, Tyler.
Thank you, sir.
Let me help you out here, bro.
All right.
I'll do a little water. Just a little water, though. You drink sodas?
Yes, sir.
Awesome. That's homegrown Coca-Cola right there. That's organic. Chocolate syrup. It's got a squeeze top, but wow. Signature Select. We couldn't even get Hershey's for you. We got a Crackle. Peanut butter cup. Hershey's Kiss. I'm going to leave the foil off. You want the paper?
No, thank you.
Okay. Yeah. And we got a Crackle, Mr. Good Bar. All right. Cookies. Cookies. Let's do this. Tyler. Woo! A little chunky. Cures what ails you.
Let's try this.
Lisa, aren't you glad you didn't volunteer? Dude, look at the chunks. Tyler, taking me back to my fraternity days.
Indiana Jones, remember the one that did the shot?
Oh, bro. Yeah, Temple of Doom, man.
This is good, clean.
It's like messed up. All right, now, let me see here. Now, this is what I call the funky monkey. That's almond milk, frozen bananas. All right. Now you guys are like, I should have volunteered for the third one. Yeah. Peanut butter. Yeah. Nothing wrong with that, huh? You're going to like this. And we're going to go spinach. No, 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 no. Don't sigh about it. Here's the thing. You can't even taste it. Yep. All right. Now this one. That's got, man, this blender. Guys, if you're in the market for a blender, get a Vitamix and not a Blendtec. Really reduces the pulp. We'll have a sit down, stand up for that. Blendtec versus Vitamix. Get you a Vitamix. How's that, Tyler?
2-3.
It's 3-2-1. Not bad, huh? Well, where he's going. All right. Hey, Tyler, you can take that one back to your seat and you can enjoy the rest if anybody wants. A round of applause for Tyler. Hold on.
Thank you, sir. I just wanted to...
Coffee card. Yeah. They may still be open and you might actually be able to wash all that nastiness down if you get something there. Now, here's the thing. The reason why I make all three of those smoothies is because that happens on our house. My wife, Laura, we've got three kids, Hill, Penny, and Judd. And, kids like candy. They like sweets, all that. Well, my wife is real into health, and she's like, she'll make them like kale, spinach smoothies. And those are the ingredients, kale and spinach. And then she'll take like one strawberry with the green still on, which people say that's the most healthy part of the strawberry, drop it in there, blend it. And she's like, okay, kids, here comes a, she'll try her best with marketing. Here's a green monster. And they like won't even try it. It's sick. It's like drinking grass clippings. It's horrible. They won't try it. And I'm like, give me that. Hold on. And I take it. I'll put blueberries, peaches, bananas. I'll take grape juice, even a little maple syrup or honey. She's like, what are you doing? Now it's not even healthy. You've taken all the health out of it. It's too much sugar now. I'm like, well, at least they're drinking it. Watch this. And so they'll drink it. And so what we found is that you have to have a middle ground. And so we have what we call the funky monkey, which is the last one there. It typically blends better. Sorry about that, Tyler. It's almond milk, frozen bananas, peanut butter, dash of salt, and then spinach. And you can hide the spinach inside of that. It turns green. You get all of the benefit of the spinach without any of the pain of choking down spinach, which kids don't like. That's why they had to have Popeye on the side of the can. They're like, nobody's going to eat that. We got to get a cartoon person on there. So that is what you do to get your kids to eat the greens and church. That is what we do to get people to receive truth. That is a perfect example of what we often try to do is we'll serve someone up just truth. All the healthy stuff, the beet, the ginger, the spinach, that represents just truth if we're to go to someone. And it's not receptive. It's not palatable. It gives them gag reflex. It's off-putting. And they may choke it down once, but they will reject it the next time you try to serve it up to them. Because there's nothing in there that will allow them to receive it. The second one is all love without any truth. When it's just like candy and sweetness and a Coke and chocolate syrup, those are all good things that are delicious. In fact, you saw Tyler, not even planned, actually downed that one. He drank all of it. There wasn't anything healthy in it. It was all sweet. It was all love. It lacked anything nutritional. In fact, I should have given him an insulin shot as he walked away because it was just like huge sucrose bomb. Now, then the third one has both the sweetness and the benefit of spinach, and they are blended together. They are inseparable. It wasn't a dose of healthy and then a dose of sweet. They were blended together in a way that could make it palatable and would actually be really healthy for him. And that's what we're talking about tonight as we say, making truth taste good, or as the Bible would say, speaking the truth in love. That is what we have to do. They have to be together. They are not inseparable. To separate one from the other is unbiblical. And so if you have truth without, right there at the front, if you have truth without love, 1 Corinthians 13 says that you're a nuisance. Paul says you're a resounding gong. You are off-putting. And so they can hear you, but they will not be received by you. And you will not be their friend or brother from long. And then oppositely, if you swing to the other side of that pendulum or spectrum, if you have love without truth, that's negligence. And our world is king at this right now. They are all about love and have zero truth. And it tastes really sweet in the moment until you've got a grown man exposing himself to a little girl in a Target. Anybody read that news headline? Yeah, Target says, hey, we love everybody. We love everyone. In fact, whatever restroom, use whatever you want. And right now, Target's under a whole lot of, a lot of people are like, that's a bad idea. I know you think that sounds sweet. That's not going to end well. And we're seeing that play out. And so that's what the world's doing. But here in this place, I mean the church, the body and bride of Christ, not like Watermark, although we hopefully are going to do that really well. We are going to inseparably blend the truth with love. And that is how you make counsel taste good, making truth taste good. So a couple of things. One, in Proverbs 27:9, so without looking up the verse, and if you haven't memorized, don't share it, but what do you think makes a good friend? What makes a good friend? What makes a sweet friend? What makes a good friend? You're like, oh, Jesus, Bible answer, spinach. What makes a good friend? Not judgmental. Honest. Parent. What? Good, really good parents. Caring. What? Loyal. Loving. Listening. You know what the Proverbs say? Earnest counsel. Earnest counsel is the sweetness of a friend. That's Proverbs 27:9. That's right there in that top italicized line. The sweetness of a friend comes from earnest counsel. And so if you're not given earnest counsel, the Bible, the Spirit would argue, you're not a good friend. You're not a sweet friend. And so we've got to be people to give earnest counsel, but you have to give it in love. So we don't rip off one verse and say, that's my proof text. And that gives me license to give you counsel and be a jerk in your life for the sake of the gospel. In our flesh, a lot of us kind of tend towards that. That doesn't make you a good friend. That makes you a nuisance. That makes you a gong. And if you think, well, man, just love, if I'm just going to love them really well, that will make me a good friend. That's not biblical either. You've got to have counsel, but it's got to be earnest counsel spoken in love, because we take 1 Corinthians 13 in advance and Ephesians 4:15, speak the truth in love. It's all blended there together. And here's the thing. As you counsel someone in truth, in love, making truth taste good, it's actually, listen to this, it's more about you than it is about them. And so I think a lot of times we're like, okay, give me the tip and the trick, because there's this guy in our group, he's addicted to porn, or there's this girl and she's racked with anxiety and she won't repent. And so what is it? Like, give me the way to, man, I want to just lay it out for him. How is it? What do I need to, how do I package this? And it's like, it is about your heart. If your heart is right, then the content and the delivery will be good. But if not, forget it and remain silent. So the first one there is heart. And I say that Pharisees have forgotten. And Robbie said Luke 7:47 earlier. The way I think about this is like, what's a 747? Plane, big or small? big, it's huge. So 747, big plane, because that's big love. So we all have a big amount of sin that we've been forgiven of. It's just whether we realize it or not. But she who has been forgiven much loves much. So that's how you can remember that. The Luke 747, just big love. But Pharisees had forgotten this. They were mocked like, oh, Jesus, if you knew who that was. They had forgotten. They had forgotten all that they needed to be forgiven from. And we can tend to do this. When we sit down in counseling situations, we like forget about all of our sin instantly because we see their sin in front of us. And it's real easy to just like start to point and think, man, what are they, that idiot? And just scoff. And we, in that time, and I am so prone to this, like critical spirit is a ditch of mine. That Laura would tell you, like, hey, that's critical spirit, which is pride, which is pharisaical. You've forgotten. Don't forget what you've been forgiven of. Don't be that guy. Because Jesus cared a lot more about the Pharisees than he did those who were sinning and aware of it. But we can forget. So that's that. And then Paul writes to Timothy, so that we would never forget like him. He writes to his little protege in 1 Timothy 1, chapter 12 through 17. And he says, even though I was once a blasphemer, a persecutor, and a violent man. It's like he had never forgotten, because he hadn't, as he's shepherding their young Timothy, saying like, man, I will never forget who I was. And so if your heart's not in that place, if you feel yourself starting to get in that scoffing, critical spirit, it is better to remain silent than be in sin. Because you're about to wound them if your heart is in the place of Pharisee rather than in a forgiven place, yourself of your own forgiveness. The second one, content and delivery. So what I didn't do here with these shakes is dump a bunch of sweet and low into it. I didn't take that first one that had the beet and the ginger and the spinach that was like all earthy. I could have taken sweet and low, aspartame, all the different, you know, dextro, whatever. I could have dumped a bunch of artificial sweetener in there. And to Tyler, that would have tasted sweet in the moment. It would have made it a little more palatable. But you know what? I mean, can anyone here, like, taste the difference between real sugar and sweetener? You guys know? Yeah. Yeah, Mary's like, duh. There's these stores that are called, like, Sugarless Delight or whatever. And it's like, man, it's like flavorless delight. It's like, it's a chemical bomb. It's disgusting. And people know that the same thing. When we try to fake something like, okay, I'm just gonna give you an encouragement sandwich. I'm gonna love you, and then I'm gonna lay into you, and then I'm gonna love you on the backside. It's like, dude, I know what you're doing. Why are you buttering me up? And you're about to like sucker punch me. So just like sucker punch me and put away all the fake love. I don't need it tonight. I don't need it from you. Like either blend it up or don't give it to me. Don't put sweet and low on the beat. You know, like speak the truth in love. And so I think that's what we can tend to do. And so content and delivery, this is the way that you speak the truth in love, because they are two separate things. And the Bible says that we must do both at the same time. Ephesians 4:15 is speak the truth in love. Well, speak the truth, that's the content. The delivery is in love. And if those things, again, aren't blended together, then don't even do it. And so with content delivery, a lot of times this will get you in a conflict situation. People will say like, man, you just really hurt me with what you said, blah, blah, blah. And a good question is like, hey, I'm so sorry. Help me understand. Is it what I said or how I said it? And a lot of times just that question, it's like, man, I agree. I mean, I agree. I shouldn't be looking at porn, or I've been harsh with my wife. Like, I hear you, but just, man, the way you're talking to me, you're just talking down to me, or the way you raised your voice at me. Like, that's not who we are as brothers and sisters in Christ or whatever. And so content and delivery is a really important thing in that it's not sweetener, it's not artificial sweetener, but that you truly are loving that person. The third one is leading, autopilot. The one that I'll share that happened to me recently, this guy called and he's like, hey, here's the situation, teenage daughter, blah, 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 what do you think? And I was like, sitting there and I'm like, you know, I can probably rip out some Bible truisms, and it'd probably make me feel better. But dude, I don't have a teenage daughter. I don't know. And so I told him, I was like, you know what I think? I think you ought to call so-and-so who's kind of walked through some teenage daughters. He's got a lot of daughters. He's kind of walked down that road. I think you ought to call him. And that, like, helps me to not be, because the sub point there, leading, is avoiding autopilot. Because if I'm an autopilot and I'm not led by the Spirit, it's like, oh, well, they ask this, then I say this. You know, you've got to struggle with lust, then I need to talk about, well, you need to memorize 1 Corinthians 6, you need to bounce your eyes, you need to tell your community group, you need to, it's like, that's just autopilot, and now I've stepped out of that love place too. I'm not led by the Spirit, I'm being led by my flesh or my mind, but not by the Spirit. And so there's the avoidance of autopilot, and there's a really interesting thing. If you're like, a way to remember it is like, man, I need GPS. I need guidance for this conversation. Nehemiah chapter 2 is the place where you go for GPS. And what happened was, is that he was summoned by the king at the time, the king of Persia, Artaxerxes. And so he goes. That's the G. You go. The person who needs counsel, you go. Get face to face with them as best as you can. Face to face is always going to be best for when they're seeking counsel. Rather than the convenience of text, email can be misinterpreted. So if they're seeking counsel, you go to them. Sit down with them. Man, let's grab coffee. Can you come over later tonight after the kids are down? Whatever that looks like, you go. That's the G. P is pray. So Nehemiah went to Artaxerxes. He went to them, and then he prayed. It said the king said, hey, why are you so downcast? And rather than just spouting off what he knew and what he needed, it said he prayed. There in the presence of the king, even as he was probably making eye contact, he may have been bowing before him, who knows? But he says he went to the king, he prayed, and then he spoke. And he said, man, your servants' land and temples and ruins. And he's like, oh, great. Well, here, so, and they start having this counsel. Here's what you need. Go, I'll write the blank check. So you go, you pray, and you speak. And that's a really good model, GPS, if you need guidance for how to give someone counsel, go, pray, and speak. A lot of times we just go and speak, and we leave out the P, which is the prayer, which in GPS language is the positioning system, like to position you, to position this, I mean, give you wisdom, like all of it. And so to step out of that is just go and speak, and you're going to end up wounding somebody. I know I have. The next one is intention. Subpoint there is cutting to cure and not to kill. Proverbs 12:18 says, there is one whose rash words are like thrusts of a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. And so there's two options there. Both are attempting to give counsel with these sword thrusts, but they're killing. And then the tongue of the wise is bringing healing. And so you make sure that your mindset is cutting to cure and not to kill. And you think about a cancer doctor who's trying to cut out margin. Like, there's going to be pain in that. There's going to be some difficulty there. He's been asked to do it. And he's cutting to get margin around that cancer. Not just like going wild, Edward Scissorhands, or lays down. It's like, man, doesn't that person know better than to have eaten that or smoked that? And now I'm going to just like carve into him. And the anesthesia in that case would be love. Like, that's what's going to make the cuts a lot more receptive by the patient, so to say, as we're cutting on each other. But to go in with sword thrusts, you may get the cancer, but you're going to kill the relationship. And they're going to bleed out as you just like jab in with truth, which are sword thrusts. It says they're rash words. So have the tongue of the wise, which cures rather than kills. Fifth, and the last one here for this section is preparation. You can't give what you don't have or who you don't have. And so you've got to be, the scripture references there are to be biblically astute and to be abiding. And so you've got to be yielded to the Spirit to give that counsel, and you've got to have knowledge of the word. You can't hardly give them biblical wise counsel, which is the will of God, the will and way of God that is in the word of God, if you yourself has not been ingesting that and you are not led and abiding by the Spirit. It's just like an impossibility. And so even if, and it happens all the time, like you can have a ton of scripture memory. Like John 15:5, when he says, abide in me and I in you, and if you do, you'll bear much fruit. That doesn't mean, I thought for the longest time, I'm like, well, wait a second. Like, if I miss a couple of days abiding, it's not like I'm like laying catatonic on the floor and I can't do anything. I can still do, I can still go to work. I can still care for my kids. Like, what does that mean? And I think what it means is the kingdom of God will not advance, at least not through me, if I'm not abiding. He's not going to bear fruit through me. And so I can go into that situation. I can sling some scriptures that I've memorized. I don't get spiritual amnesia and like mind eraser just because I haven't abided. But I think as far as moving the dial in their life and the Spirit working through me, that's an essential and a necessary thing is the preparation. You can't give what or who you don't have. So that's the setup. And as you see, that's the majority of it. And that's all about you. It's all about you. It's not about them. They've already got the problem of their own. They're seeking counsel, or they may not even be seeking it, but you need to give it. It's not always an invitation. It's just something you see in them, which, P.S., I guarantee you, Tyler's got spinach in his teeth. Or maybe Mr. Goodbar, or maybe the Hershey Kisses wrapper that I blended up. But he doesn't know. And so the onus is on the people at that table for Lisa or Jeremy to be like, hey, bro, you got a little something here. I had this client in advertising once. It was like we had a 3 o'clock meeting. We were walking through one of the plants. And it was a woman, which made it more awkward. And I was like, hey, Christy, we're friends, right? And she's like, yeah, why? I was like, it's just no way, good way to say this. Your zipper is down. And she's like, oh my gosh, thank you so much. And I'm like, how many of her coworkers walked around? I was just her ad guy that like walked in, and I mean, I don't know, maybe it was right before our meeting, but a true friend will tell you, the sweetness of a friend comes from the earnestness of the counsel. And so somebody let Tyler know if he's got something in his teeth. It's unloving to not do so, whether he invites you to or not. Now, below that, 10 things to do and 10 things not to do. We're not going to unpack all of this because it would take too much time. But here's what I want you to think about before we walk through some of those. I want to highlight some of them, and I want to bucket some of them. Everyone has a different demeanor. You've got one side or the other. You either make really healthy shakes or you make really sweet shakes by default and by your demeanor, which is probably family of origin. It may be your spiritual gift set, like some of yours is leadership and you're gonna make really healthy ones. Others of yours is encouragement and you're gonna make really sweet ones. And you've got to know which one you are. And so think about that. And then as we walk through these things, specifically think 10 things to do, I want you to think about, man, I need to apply that one to come more towards the middle. Because if you don't, again, if you stay on one side of the spectrum or the other, you're not going to be helpful. But as you come more towards the middle, that's that spirit-yielded place that's going to allow you to blend that truth and love to make you really impactful for the others. One thing that I have found, I mean, in regeneration, all those hands that went up, which, by the way, is so encouraging to me, and I know the rest of you are living it in your community groups. But one thing I've found in Regen, as people have unpacked some really dark and heavy stuff with those of us in the room that are there, is I found this one thing to be true. This thing disarms all of the tension in the room. This is the one where it's like goes from intensity and I can't look at you and breathing hard and all of that. There was a guy that came in and he was gonna actually confess. Well, I won't even tell you yet. He came in. He was like shaking. I could see his stomach shaking. His breathing was labored. I mean, like sweat. He was like, man, I feel like I'm going to throw up. I'm sorry, bro. I feel like I'm going to throw up. Like, and I'm like, man, it's okay, bro. Hey, I don't know what it is, but the cross of Christ is big enough. It is okay. In Jesus, you are forgiven. There is no condemnation. Like saying all these things. He's like, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. And I go, hey, look at me. Look at me. Man, I am a recovering alcoholic. I abused pills. I still am tempted to abuse NyQuil and even melatonin. I binge on food. I've said every foul thing you can imagine. I am harsh with my wife. I used to cut up my arms and put out cigarettes on my hand because I had so much pain inside of me. I was sexually abused as a little boy. I've been through hell in a relationship with adultery and then committed adultery myself. And he just like looked at me and like exhaled. Whole temperature of the room changed. And he was like, thank you so much for saying that. Thank you. I was abused, and then I in turn abused others. I was like, okay, let's talk. But y'all, if I wouldn't have done that, because I've been in other situations where a guy was like, hey, can I talk to you about passivity? And I'm like, okay, yeah, we can talk about passivity. Jim Ward's laughing, one of our community directors, because he remembers. Yeah, we can talk about passivity. We sit there and talk, beat around the bush, passivity. So how can I be a godly leader, man? And Jim and I are like, hey, how are you doing with pornography? how's purity? And he's like, what? Like, that's not the meeting I asked to have. And we start unpacking our stuff too. And it's like, hey, man, the reason why we ask is because X, Y, and Z and all these guys, you know, typically that's a struggle somewhere in their life. And that was the reason why he was meeting in the first place. But it's like, if you go first, it's going to make it easier for every other person. And so start with your story, just like Paul did with Timothy. Be a good doctor. Points 4 and 5, be a good doctor and listen. So there's a watermark doctor. I started having all this like nausea and really bad headaches, but I didn't know what it was. I've never had migraines. I just like kind of mentioned it because he was a region leader too. I'm like, hey, by the way, I get nauseous sometimes, so much so that I throw up. And then I also get these really bad headaches and I have light sensitivity, which P.S. this is like off the charts right now. And I'm like packing heat with my migraine medicine right now. And he was like, hey, why don't you come in and see me? And I was like, okay, great. So I go in there and see him. Bro, he gives me the full meal deal. And at one point in the conversation, he goes, well, you're 40 now. And I was like, yeah? Y'all are laughing because you knew what was coming. I didn't. He's like, okay, well, let's drop your doors and turn around. And I was like, oh, mercy. Hold on, you misunderstood. I get headaches, not rear aches. I don't know what you thought hurt, but it's my head and not my prostate. Like, we're good, I'm fine. And what I'd tell you there is he's a really good doctor. That wasn't pleasant for him. It wasn't pleasant for me, but it made him a really good doctor. Because he's like, I don't care. I care about you. And just because you're telling me about your passivity, that doesn't mean there may not be porn hidden somewhere else. And just because you're telling me about migraine, I don't know, man. There could be cancer somewhere. So I'm gonna push and prod all over. And it's not because I want to hurt you. And it's not because I'm curious. It's because I care. It's because I really, this girl's like, yeah, it is not because I'm curious. It's because he cared about me. And that makes me feel so loved. I walked in here and Don Sharp, right there. Region leader, community group guy, like walks in, he's like, hey, I'm worried about you. You've taken on a lot and you got a lot of little kids. Are you doing okay? And he's like, I don't mean to get in your business, but I care about you a lot. And I was like, bro, thank you. Thank you. That tells me you love me. Not that you're busting my chops, you care about me. Don's being a good doctor, of which we all are, by the way, to each other. It's all the one another's. He's being a good doctor and a good friend to me by asking that question. We got to do that with each other. Again, not because you're curious, but because you care. The next one, share in prayer. This one will transform your community group. Is that after they confess that sin, before you're like, oh, biblical counsel time. Can't believe you just confessed that. Boom. Sexual immorality, I'm gonna lay it out. Don't you know your body's a temple bought by the Holy Spirit? You were redeemed with a price, therefore honor. Like, you're like, before you do that, don't you know you should cast all your anxieties upon him? Before you do that, when you're like, man, I had a really anxious week, but before, guys, I looked at porn last night, I masturbated, and I don't know, the last time, God, so much, just owning me. Before you do that, they confess that sin, you stop and you say, can I pray for you? Can I pray for you right now? You know why you do that? Because if you don't, you're in sin. James 5:16 says, confess your sins to one another and pray for each other so that you may be healed. And I think what we do is someone confesses their sin and we're like, let me give you the biblical answer. Let me tell you exactly what you need to do. You need to do something. And God says, no, 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 no. What you need to do, you who just heard, is you need to stop and you pray for them. You pray for them. Because what does it feel like, y'all? When you confess your sin, man, it's like me in front of that doctor. Really uncomfortable. Like, are you serious right now? Bro, like all that? That's like so humiliating and so humbling. As you confessed lust and anxiety and pride and you know, whatever it is, all the ugly sin that we confess, it's really humiliating and embarrassing. And you're exposed, man. You're there in front, and that takes a lot of trust. And what you do when you not only say you're gonna pray, but then you do pray for them, what you do is you just wrap them up in a big old blanket of grace. And they are covered then at that point. And then they can hear what you say as you give them biblical counsel, because that's biblical as well. You've got to give them that counsel, but you don't do that until you pray for them after they confess that sin. And guess what? It's not just some weird religious routine of like, well, you confess, then I pray. You confess, that's their part. Then you pray, that's our part. The shoe's on the other foot. And then God's part is he says, I will heal. I will heal that sin. You're not going to think your way out of it or biblical trick your way out of it. The Holy Spirit is the sanctifier. And so you call upon the one who can actually heal before you say, well, you probably ought to get rid of your phone and take the door off the hinges and text me before you go to bed and after you wake up. Like, those are good things, but he is the one that heals. So you call upon him. My dad got in a really bad car wreck, slammed his car into a bluff, couldn't get out, airbags, all that, he's fine. But the first three people that arrived on the scene, they were not trained medical people, but they had phones. And they called the paramedic who arrived that got him to the hospital, that got him the healing. And that's us, y'all. We can't heal each other. We can't. I can't make myself not sin, let alone one of y'all or my wife or my kids. I can't. So how in the world would I expect to do that in a meeting? But I have a phone called prayer, and I can pray to the medic who can bring healing. And so that's what you do after they confess sin, and that's going to make truth taste good. Because after you do that, and you've covered them up with grace and that prayer and the healing is coming down, then you can be like, man, so, hey, here's a couple things that have come to my mind. I think this is how we could walk through this, and I'm gonna walk alongside of you. 7 through 9, don't waste their time. Keep the end in mind. And triage. Those are ways of talking about giving counsel that you actually do at that point, give biblical counsel. And then the last one, number 10, is huge. Because, you know, trusted are wounds from a friend. Well, they're trusted, but they're also wounds. And so there is some pain in that. There's some uncomfortability. And if you're like me, you're probably not batting 1,000 every time you give someone counsel. It's probably some good. And then some like, man, that was really poor delivery. And that just hurt. And the way you said that. But you don't often know it because they're on the receiving end. Like they're the one that walked into your living room or called you at work and were like, can we talk? I just did this or that. And they're the ones that feel like they're in the place of receiving. So they may not be in the place to speak up. And you're the one kind of, hey, I'm now in the biblical counsel mode. The onus is on you. Before you wrap up that conversation, to preserve unity and peace, to say, hey, I know we've talked about some hard stuff today, and I'm sure I haven't delivered it all perfect. Is there anything I've said today that's hurt you? Are we good? Like, is there anything? Like, let me know. And so often, people have said, yeah, you know, thank you for asking that. When you said this, like, man, that just stung. Like, that's not who, you made me feel like that's who I am versus what I did. I'm like, bro, you're totally right. Totally right. I'm so sorry. Will you please forgive me? And it's like, yeah, of course. And then you leave in unity. If that goes unresolved, then you've left some cancer there. It's like, that's like when a surgeon does surgery and then 20 years later, the guy like goes and gets a, you know, he breaks his arm and they do a, you know, a x-ray and they're like, you got forceps in your stomach cavity. That's why you've been having that stomach pain, because a doctor left something in you. Don't be that guy that like leaves something in someone as you were trying to help them. Don't leave a little bit of pain in them after you've tried to perform surgery on them. So I think that's enough on that one. I wanna turn it back to y'all because I wanna give you an opportunity to sit at your table now and say, hey, I trend more towards the all health shake. That's me, that's my ditch. And I need to add some sweetness. And here's something I learned tonight. Biblically that I can incorporate to bring me more to the middle, or I trend more towards the like junk food smoothie and I need some health infused into it. So spend a little bit of time talking about that and then we're gonna flip the page and go through the next part. Don't eat those jelly bellies. I'll make you drink something weird.